And welcome back, everyone. I'm James Carroll, sitting in for Peggy Peterson, as Peggy is camping out right in the middle of Bala Falls. I'm lucky to have Alan Turnbull here, who has been giving us an update and a little piece of history on the Swift River Energy project that many people feel should not be completed. Alan, how did you get involved with this to begin with?
Well, to begin with, I didn't take it seriously. There was a group formed almost as soon as the public heard about it. There was a group formed called Save the Bala Falls. And take a look at their website. They've done an enormous amount of work.
Yeah, I'm on it here, yeah.
On it, done an enormous amount of research, have given the government very, very detailed pages and pages of information as to why this should not go ahead, and at every stage, they just get very, very bland replies saying thank you, but we're still going ahead. Now, one of the things that happened, I was away on holiday, but the Water Mohawks, for whom this is, it's important to them for two reasons. One is the land itself is a historic portage for them. The other is that they are just a neighboring community. They start just a few miles downstream. And so they are very, very affected by it. Now, the Crown, that's all levels of government, has a constitutional duty to consult with First Nations and anything that affects them. And the Water Mohawks finally decided that there had not been adequate consultations. There had been discussions with them and with other First Nations in the area in the early days. But one of the things that amazes me about this is that every time that Swift River comes out with a new drawing, and the plant just seems to get bigger. It surprised everybody when they came out with drawings at when they were applying to the district to get road access permits. The plant had grown again. The original proposal would actually have preserved the portage, and they realized in that proposal that the portage was very, very important. The current proposal has completely changed it. It just seems to grow. As I say, every time they come out with a new drawing, it's bigger and more obtrusive. And it now completely blocks the portage. So the Water Mohawks actually held a portage in August with the chief and councillors and a lot of people from the public, a group from Idle No More, and that's actually how Peggy Peterson got involved. She's very active with Idle No More. They came out to protest it. It got a bit of publicity, some television in Barrie, and they then, the Water Mohawks, wrote to the Prime Minister and to Premier Wynne, pointing out that there had not been adequate consultations.
Now, has there been a reaction from Kathleen Wynne?
There has been, but it took another letter. So the first letter was about the end of August.
And this is Chief Franks?
This is from Chief Philip Franks,
yes.
A letter to the Minister, to the Premier and Prime Minister, copied to the appropriate ministers. They got no response. They sent a second letter on October the 3rd saying, you know, we haven't had any response. There's been reports in the newspapers, but that's not consultation. Anyway, they got a letter from Premier Wynne. It is dated October 1st, but they did not receive it until this week, and they received it by emails. So, and all she did was say, you know, thank you for your letter. I have referred this to the Minister of the Environment, which just seems like pushing it off to the side. And that is all. I've referred it to the Ministry of the Environment. So, but coming back to the consultations, there was one when the big change came about.
In the design.
In the design.
Right.
Which was in 2012. I've seen a copy of this letter. It was sent to the chief of the Water Mohawks, and it was from Swift River. It was not even from the Crown. And they consider the what is considered very, very important is that the consultation has to be with the Crown, not with some subcontractor who's going to build the plant. It was a letter from Swift River announcing the change as reported in local newspapers. Now, that's supposed to be meaningful consultation. So, quite understandably, the Water Mohawks are very, very upset about this.
Now, on Monday, that's coming up on the 20th, this is evidently the first day that Swift River can actually begin to clear to get road access?
That's correct. We don't think they've got all the permits to start building the plant, but they do have access to the land. One of the problems with this proposal is that it has been designated as a green energy proposal under the Green Energy Act. Now, that's very, very convenient for the government. But remember that this proposal went out in 2004. The Green Energy Act was only enacted in 2009. But one thing that act does is that once a proposal is designated as a green energy proposal, the local municipalities have no say. The applicants do not have to go for building permits. They can build this thing without going to the township for a building permit. But one thing they do have to do is if they want to get access from a district road, and it's right beside Highway 169 going through Bala. Now,
right.
As an aside, that is the only road through Bala. And they're going to be building this a major construction site. On both sides of it, the intake pipe is going to be across the road. They're going to be building underneath it. And they say they're not going to shut the town down. I mean,
I know the road very well.
They're being completely unreasonable. But a number of people had protests about this. They delegated the district about it. The township of Muskoka Lakes actually passed a resolution requesting the district not to grant the road access at the moment. But the district staff basically told them that you can't stop the province of Ontario from accessing their own land. So if you don't grant these, the province is just going to come down and overrule you. But the district did delay the date of the access permits until after the Cranberry Festival.
And that's this weekend.
And that is this weekend. And that made sense, because to have construction going on through the Cranberry Festival would have been devastating to it.
Now, if and when this project gets underway, what are we looking at time-wise for construction?
They're saying 18 months construction.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's going to tie the town up for two. The town is going to be a construction site for two summers. And I've seen that. 20 years ago, the town was dug up to put in new water and sewer lines. And it closed the town down for the entire summer.
Yeah.
We rely on cottagers coming in to pick up their beer, get ice cream, get their groceries. And they could just as easily go to Port Carling in one direction or Gravenhurst in the other.
Yeah.
So that was an absolute disaster for the town. And once people change their shopping patterns, it takes them a long time to go back.
Yeah.
It took the town several years. But at least in that case, we got something that was worthwhile for the town. Bala's not going to get anything from this construction. It's going to be unmanned, so there's not going to be no permanent jobs. There will be some construction jobs, but they're going to be offset by the loss to the town's retail economy.
Yeah.
The Swift River's own economic analysis actually said that the economic costs of this project were incalculable. Literally incalculable. They could not calculate them.
Wow. Alan, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and get us updated on what's going on. There will be a group of folks going out to the Bala Falls on Monday. You can check out Save the Falls, a Facebook page, as well as...
Save the Bala Falls.
Save the Bala Falls, yes. Thank you for that. The website is very crystal clear about what's going on. As I said, there's also a Save the Bala Falls Facebook page as well. I want to thank my guest, Alan Turnbull, for being here. And I want to just say, Peggy, I hope this resolves itself because we miss you here at the station. You've been listening to Green Tapestry on Hunter's Bay Radio 88.7 Muskoka.